What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. Boy, we have a lot of news to talk about. We broke our Fightful Select record this week. Got to give you guys the rundown of what the hell this show is, because I know a lot of you are new here. This is the Fightful Backstage Report. So what we do is we take a look at the stories in which we've reported over the last week and add some additional details. We do that in the Fightful Wrestling Weekly as well, up on Tier 2. But let's go ahead and talk about these stories, and let's talk about the story. There is one specific story that you guys are here to talk about, and that is the MJF situation. Do not listen to what other people say that Fightful reported, etc., etc. This is what I've reported. Let's start at the beginning. What I can confirm is, regardless of the direction that this has taken, will take, or ends up in the future, 2 months ago, not a work, Tony Khan and MJF had a very heated discussion that I would even say an argument. MJF was upset about his contract, how much he was making. Tony Khan was more frustrated about MJF not getting an approval for an interview with Ariel Helwani, and Tony Khan had told me, well, it wasn't that he did the interview, like that would have been fine, it's just that we found out about it via it being published as opposed to being prepared for it. MJF was pretty upset about that, and Tony Khan didn't seem that upset about it, to be honest with you. At least in my conversation with Tony Khan, he didn't seem upset at all, to be honest with you. Not in the least. However, things seemed like they got better within the following days. Dave Meltzer said that it was sort of water under the bridge. That was something that got backed up for me as well. But then a couple weeks later, I hear, nope, not so fast. MJF is still pretty frustrated. I can tell you that at least as of that point, MJF was still frustrated, and there was no work aspect to that. He had talked to numerous talent. Now, when I talk about, quote-unquote, a work, all kinds of talent in the locker room have said Tony Khan will not work the talent, will not work the boys. More on that later. MJF spoke candidly with numerous talent about what he did and didn't want, and one of those talent told us that Tony Khan had mentioned to him that of course he would end up paying MJF top money because he is a top guy. However, at some point, I don't know what the frustration continued to be about, but MJF just kind of seemed over it, over everything, over all of it. What for? I don't know. I can't answer. Only the man himself can answer that. Also, I want to make it clear, obviously, any time that I'm speaking to anybody that knows MJF or MJF directly, clearly I am cognizant and aware of the potential of a work. That is always in my mind. I don't know why anybody would think that that's something that we wouldn't assume. You know what I mean? Like, that's always something in the back of my mind, not just with him, with anybody. But as of that point, not a work. However, I had a lot of people telling me that AEW and Tony had made some overtures like, yeah, we'll talk about your contract. We'll talk about your contract. And MJF had kind of just blown it off and been like, yeah, sure, we will. But that he was very aware that once Las Vegas happened, it was going to be, I don't want to say hard to run, but you get kind of what I'm saying when I say hard to run. It was going to be make or break time, sort of. There wasn't a lot of places he could go to avoid talking about his contract, which was originally the thing he was frustrated about to begin with. Now, I also want to make it clear, I had never heard that MJF wanted more money for his current amount of time. That is not true. In fact, people close to him said that he was very clear that's not something he wanted because contracts don't work like that. So anybody saying that he was trying to get more money for the next 18 months of his deal, that is not accurate based on what I have heard. Obviously, MJF comments on his contract stuff pretty often. Tony Khan was asked about it this past week on the media call, and he says that MJF likes to apply real-life situations to storyline, etc., and that's something that he's in favor of. And MJF quote tweeted my post and said this fucking place and then deleted it. So anytime MJF deletes a tweet, I am of course cognizant, like, why would he? You know what I mean? Because if he deletes it, it actually gets more buzz than if he leaves it up. So at that point, me, tinfoil hat, you know, I'm cognizant of it. So Saturday rolls around, and I'm going to show you the order of operations here. This was confirmed, and I mean 100% confirmed. At 11:39 Pacific, a flight was booked for Maxwell Jacob Friedman, under his real name, from Las Vegas to Newark, nonstop, 11-something p.m. at night. And, yeah, it was booked for him. I don't know who booked it. I don't know if MJF booked it. I don't know if AEW booked it. I who knows? But a flight was booked for him, as we reported. He did not get on that flight. But there's something that I want to make clear, because there's been a lot of conjecture. This flight was absolutely booked. I've seen the documentation. The Grapsody guys have seen the documentation. David Bixenspan, Denise Salcedo. There have been numerous members of the media that this information was shared with for the sake of clarity for this situation, because I wanted to make sure that that they were aware of such, and, you know, not making sure that people know that I'm not bullshitting. Not the kind of thing I put out there publicly. That's private information. But for a couple of reasons, I didn't report where the flight was going to. One, privacy. I didn't want people to be showing up there at the airport whenever he was going to board the flight or when he was getting home if he took that flight. And also, because if anybody quote-unquote verified it, which did happen, I would be able to reach out to them and say, okay, you claim that you verified this. Please tell me the correct flight number, the flight destination. Well, I didn't even need to do that because Mike Johnson, a PW Insider, verified that same info that I had, posted it on PW Insider, and revealed that it was in Newark. That is not something I had put out there publicly for that reason. Because obviously I know with anything like this, there's going to be doubters and the elements of, is it a work? Is it a shoot? Is this real? Did this even happen? But I also shared that information with Brian Alvarez when he posted, oh, I've got serious doubts that a flight was ever booked. Well, the person that provided me this information has provided me countless news stories in the past, never, ever been wrong, ever. And typically, WWE stuff, maybe some Impact stuff here and there. Here and there, AEW stuff. I want to make this clear. And I would just not say anything as opposed to lie to people. The flight stuff was not provided by anybody close or connected to AEW or MJF at all. This wasn't like a leak. This wasn't an effort for a work. I did reach out to MJF. And I said, hey, what's up with this flight? Are you flying out of town? I got completely no-sold on any of that. The only time I got a response is after that flight was booked, MJF no-showed a meet and greet. And when that happens, I fear the worst. I want to make sure physically he's okay. It was confirmed to me he's physically okay. I was told, don't worry, good. But I can tell you that if it was a work at that point, it was a work of one person. And that's MJF. And if it's a work of one person, well, it's not a work to AEW or Tony Khan or the fans that went to that meet and greet and paid money expecting to see him. It was not a work to the people who worked that meet and greet and wasted their time preparing for it. It was not a work to the numerous talent who had to stay over hours without being prepared, told, or given any information, and in fact being told that it was legit. So if you're saying, well, it's a work and MJF worked everybody, well, that's an agenda. That's not a work. That's him skipping a meet and greet and other talent having to pick up the slack and fans being pissed off and talent being told this is legit. So if that ends up being the case, well, then I would argue a bigger story is that talent could possibly be getting worked, which I do not think was the case. Every outlet under the sun verified, yeah, the situation isn't a work. We ended up having four or five outlets verify, yes, the flight is real, et cetera, et cetera. He did not get on that flight. Now, one person that I spoke to close to him said, there ain't no way he leaves Las Vegas. And I believe that person. I said, you know what? If you say that, you're probably right. At the time, my line of thinking was, well, I never thought that he would skip a meet and greet. Character bullshit aside, like, the guy is a professional. He makes his dates. He makes his commitments. He does what he's supposed to do. So it's 11-something p.m. Eastern. And I'm like, all right, he's about to get on this plane. Then I look, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's Pacific. So 3 hours pass, and we learn he did not get on the flight. Then that afternoon, we find out, well, he's not at the venue. He did end up showing up, and he showed up shortly before the event. Now, throughout that afternoon, AEW had pulled a scheduled tweet that went up about Wardlow and MJF, and they privatized a video that was scheduled to go up promoting the match. At about 6 p.m., MJF and Wardlow's video was made public. They did the match. They milked it. He referenced the airplane thing. MJF does the job, does a stretcher job, and afterwards I was able to confirm with MJF. Or I shouldn't say confirm with MJF, because, again, always cognizant it could possibly be a work. But I heard back, and I was told, got there shortly before, left right after, got a lot of thinking to do. I was able to verify that he did show up. I don't know how long shortly is, but he wasn't there that long compared to other people before his match. And he did leave afterwards. So a lot of talent there. Where do you stand on this, so to speak? A lot of them are always cognizant that it's possibly a work, as am I, but are also steadfast in saying Tony Khan doesn't work his talent. He will just ignore them and not tell them something if he doesn't feel like he should tell them, but he will not lie to them. And in my experience in talking to Tony Khan, that is true to the media as well. He's never outright lied to me. He's not answered, but hasn't lied about anything that I've at least come to learn. Now, MJF has been said to keep to himself a lot more, but that doesn't mean he's not talking to anybody. He's not going back there and being a mute or anything like that, but his deal is up January 1st, 2024, according to him and his people. I should reiterate, there have been numerous talent this year that thought their deals were up sooner than what they were, and they ended up not being. So, we'll see. We don't really know how that is, but to make it clear, this flight was booked before the meet and greet. So, what that tells me is, if, and this is a hypothesis, this is not a report, it was either MJF saying, look at me here, I booked a flight out, or AEW saying, you're not going to show up to this meet and greet, get out of town. That is just, you know, my hunch about the situation. Not been told that by anybody. That's just speculation. I have heard back from MJF very little, but regardless, seemed like he needed to spend some time off the phone, off the internet, so to speak. AEW sources told me on Monday that MJF had not left. He'd not, like, flown home or anything. AEW is in LA this Wednesday, but I was told by a couple of AEW sources that Tony Khan and MJF were set to meet. Now, when I get any news tips about this, the first thing I say is this a work? Is this a work? Didn't get a response to this. So again, that's why I post that we try to be as transparent as possible. Don't know in this situation. MJF's one of the best workers there are, so really hard to say, but we'll work to find out and try to decipher what's real, what's a work, if anything is a work, because I don't think any of that is guaranteed now either. But man, there's an awful lot going on right now. And yeah, we'll keep working to bring you accurate news. But that was the the way that things went, and that was a wild one. Now I want to make clear: anybody reporting that or saying that we reported that he wouldn't be there Sunday or that he was going to get on that plane, though that is objectively untrue because we stated that his status was up in the air. We weren't sure of the status. And we did not know if he was getting on the plane. And we never once reported that he was on the plane. The only bit of misinformation that came out was that somebody jumped the gun and said that the flight was delayed. The flight wasn't delayed. So if you also hear anybody referencing a delayed flight, that's the wrong flight. In fact, the one that he was supposed to be on left several minutes early. Now, of course, there are talent that are like that think that he masterminded the whole thing. You've got Meltzer saying he's trying to be Pillman, etc. Hey, we'll find out. We'll figure it out. But damn, what a ride. And not a plane ride, though. His ass stayed there. Tony Khan wouldn't comment on it after the scrum. And, of course, your antennas go up. You go, is he working? Is he pushing the narrative? Is he controlling the narrative? Or does he really not want to talk about it? Guess we'll see. Man, what a wild situation. I'll tell you what's just as wild. We interviewed RJ City. Told us that Tony Khan hit him up in the DMs, brought him down to Revolution. They filmed all the Road to Revolution day or videos in one day at the dark tapings. Then he brought him back a couple more times. And they brought back the Road 2 format, which RJ City seems to be doing very well at. I've been told that a lot of people are liking doing content with him, and that's good to see. I'll break kayfabe here. He's a good guy. Brian Cage was also backstage at AEW Dynamite this week. He has not been at recent AEW shows. He's not been on AEW programming since last year. He hasn't appeared for any ROH AEW territory since Supercard of Honor, but he was there this past week, which is good to see. Killer Cross was not there, but he was supposed to be on May 4th. If AEW had their way, he was originally supposed to face Wardlow in place of where W. Morrissey was. However, I was told that there was, I don't want to say miscommunication, maybe a lack of communication between Cross and AEW, and that they had a conversation regarding how he would be presented, and Cross was very, very steadfast in that he didn't necessarily want his WWE main roster presentation, being that he didn't have the entrance, he came in and lost, no Scarlett, there wasn't anything that stuck in people's minds, and it reminds you a lot of Jeff Hardy. Instead, he wanted his wife, Scarlett, with him. He wanted the entrance and the presentation that made him popular in NXT. And I was told that they had a productive conversation. Tony Khan said that he would be willing to work with Killer Cross in the future. Cross, from what I understand, said really good things about Tony Khan and the possibility of working with AEW. And it was just a business disagreement, and it seemed like everything left fine there. But it could have happened. I think that ultimately it was probably better for all involved that it happened the way that it did. I think it was probably better for AEW. I think it was better for Cross because he got to keep kind of what he wanted to retain. And I think it was good for Morrissey because Morrissey is still in that period where he's showing that he can play ball. He's showing that he'll come in, do business, be easy to deal with, look good on TV, have good matches. I think that it worked out really, really well for everybody as a point of personal opinion. MLW news, we got plenty. They had a really successful run in Philly. Their show selling out after the walk-up. There's a new Samoan SWAT team led by Jacob Fatu. It's got Juicy and Lance Anawaii joining him. Samu was present at the show and gave his blessing for the group to use the name. He and Rikishi comprised the original Samoan SWAT team. And Enzo Amore started a feud with Jacob Fatu at the taping, so look for that to take place. MLW was particularly happy with Hammerstone's merch sales. He's set for a tour of Europe in the fall. He's going to be defending the world title there, and some of those matches will air on Fusion. And funny enough, I was told that Microman did excellent sales too. So people got their jokes off when they brought in Micro Man, but it's working for him. Alex Kane, he's getting a big push in MLW. He's going to feud with Davey Richards. Davey Richards had a pretty crazy travel day. He had to drive from St. Louis to Chicago for a medical exam as he's in med school, fly to Philly, and then wrestle 2 hours later. You also had the Maximos, Spanish announce team, who had a tryout to be the Spanish announce team. They were doing Spanish commentary. Lince Dorado debuted at the show. He's not signed, but he has at least committed to appearing in New York City in June for Battle Riot. What a June we got. And I love Battle Riot, man. So I'm excited for that show. There was a next segment on WWE Raw. It was supposed to have Mustafa Ali and Austin Theory, but that didn't end up happening. The reason that we were given was due to time constraints, but there were no alternative plans made for Ali for the program. There was a mention of Theory possibly helping the beatdown on Cody, but that didn't end up happening. This was already nixed by the time the rundown appeared, so it was cut well before 7:30. I'm told that Mustafa Ali's return has been pretty smooth for both sides since then, and they've been willing to do business, and everything seems like it's worked out fairly well. Guys, thank you all so much. I appreciate you. All the new subscribers mean so much to us. We're always striving to bring you accurate news and bring it to you as timely as possible and update you and all that good stuff. Hope you all love what you hear, love what you read, and thank you all so much. We're very much publicly funded, so we appreciate every single one of you. Got the Q&A show coming up later this week. Of course, plenty more content coming your way. Until next time, we're out.